2 weeks ago, I guess that was the week following Easter, we talked about how, especially in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus' resurrection moves so quickly from appearing to the disciples, to the women, having them tell them to go to the disciples, to meet him in Galilee, and then how quickly in that gospel account it moves from the resurrection to Jesus giving them the mission at hand. I'm alive, gather the disciples, meet me in Galilee, and I'm going to give you the mission at hand. And we talked about how it was kind of like he was rallying the troops. They'd been on this mission together, and then they had lost hope at his death. And then 3 days later, when he comes back to life, it's like, all right, I need to get everyone together again and let them know I'm alive and the mission is at hand. Go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them everything I've taught you. And now this week, we want to start focusing a little bit in on the big mission to our particular mission as First Presbyterian Church here in Ashland, Ohio. How do we come alongside God's greater work, and how do we live into that as a congregation? And so some of today's message is going to be a review from the standpoint of I'm going to go back through what has been our working mission statement for several years now. But then we're going to talk a little bit about how we just feel like there's a fourth piece to that that the Lord's laying on our hearts to really begin to emphasize as we move into the summer, as we move into next fall. So as we prepare our hearts for that, I invite you to bow your heads and join me in prayer. Lord, we ask you that you bless this time, that you bless these words, that they're not my words, but through the ministry of the Holy Spirit become your words, and that you'll open our hearts, Holy Spirit, to receive them. Speak to us now, O Lord. Transform us evermore into your likeness, into your image. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll be reading from Luke chapter 4, verses 31 through 44. He, being Jesus, went down to Capernaum, a city in Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbath. They were astounded at his teaching, because he spoke with authority. In the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, "Let us alone! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down before them, he came out of him without doing any harm to him. They were all amazed and kept saying to one another, "What kind of utterance is this? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And a report about him began to reach every place in the region. After leaving the synagogue, he entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked him about her. And then he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. Immediately she got up and began to serve them. As the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various kinds of diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on each of them and cured them. Demons also came out of many, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Messiah. At daybreak, he departed and went into a deserted place. And the crowds were looking for him. And when they reached him, they wanted to prevent him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." So he continued proclaiming the message in the synagogues of Judea. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, it seems fitting to me that anytime we begin to talk about our purpose and our mission and what God might have us to do with our lives and through the ministry of this congregation, that we first ought to look to the life of Jesus. I mean, this is what it means to be a Christian. It means to be one like Christ. This is what it means to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. That means we're going to do anything and everything we can with our lives to be as Christ-like as possible. We're going to learn from the life of Jesus, and we're going to do our best to model our lives around that. And so as a congregation seeking to establish our mission, then we want to first look to Jesus and look at Jesus' mission and how Jesus lived his life, and then wrap ourselves around that. And so the first thing you notice from this passage, and I could have chosen lots of passages, I liked how these verses encapsulated the three things that I really used to summarize Jesus' mission. The first of those is that Jesus taught. He taught, as you look at verses 31 through 37. Now, we know this. Jesus taught frequently in formal ways where folks would gather around him and he would speak, like on the Sermon on the Mount. He also taught informally as he walked along the roads, as he sat with his disciples. He used analogies. He used scriptures. He used story. He taught with parables. Perhaps most importantly, he taught with and through his life and his actions, always modeling for the disciples how it was that they, too, were being called to live. And I love that in these verses, as it talks about Jesus teaching on the Sabbath, it says that they were astounded. They were astounded with his teaching. They were especially astounded with the authority with which he spoke. And then, as you'll find often in Scripture, as Jesus is teaching and as they're noticing his authority, then he's given an opportunity to demonstrate that power and authority. And so there's this demon that begins speaking through this person, and he just rebukes it. Get out of him. And the demon must listen. The power to drive out the demon is a manifestation of the power and authority from which Jesus taught. This is also true of Jesus' healing ministry. And that's what you find in verses 38 through 41. Jesus healed. And Jesus speaks to God's heart as a healer. Now, when we read the scriptures, we often think of healing in a kind of narrow term, because a lot of Jesus' miracles dealt with physical healing. He made the sick well. He made the blind see. He made the deaf to hear. But when we speak of healing and Jesus' healing and the heart of God the healer, it's a much bigger perspective. Yes, including physical healing, but also spiritual healing, emotional healing, the healing of the nations. The big restoration picture of what God's doing at work in the world today is all encompassed with this idea of Jesus' healing. But in this particular case, as Jesus rebukes this fever, he gives us, he gives the disciples that were there witnessing this, a foretaste of the day when all will be healed. A foretaste of the kingdom of God, in which there is no more pain, there is no more illness, there is no more suffering, there is no more death. And again, this power and authority that Jesus had to rebuke this fever and then to go on and lay hands on many in the village, curing them, rebuking the demons, are all demonstrations of the power and authority of God that then gives witness and testimony to this message that Jesus came to give. The third point that we see in verses 42 to 44, Jesus preached. he preached. He said, I must proclaim. In other words, it's kind of like saying, I can't help but to speak of why I'm here and of the God who sent me and of the kingdom that is at hand. Jesus came to proclaim, to preach about the good news of the kingdom of God. And he says in these verses, for I was sent for this purpose. This gives us a framework for Jesus' ministry. It gives us a framework for our ministry. That Jesus' birth and life and death, resurrection and ascension, all that encompasses the life and ministry of Jesus Christ was framed within this concept of the kingdom of God. Jesus came to proclaim to the world that in him, the kingdom was at hand. A kingdom that would operate very differently than any of the kingdoms of the world. A kingdom where he was Lord and where he was at reign. Now, I put these in the past tense that Jesus taught, Jesus healed, Jesus preached. But what the resurrection brings us is it takes away the past tense and brings it back into present tense. So that he was saying to his disciples, I am alive, and so this ministry will continue. And so it's not just that Jesus preached, it's that Jesus preaches. It's not just that Jesus once upon a time healed, it is that Jesus heals. It's not just that Jesus taught, it's that today, in this world, Jesus teaches. Jesus is alive and at work in the present day world as the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit continue their mission to restore all things. As we look forward to that day when the kingdom of God will be in all its fullness, and will be on earth as it is in heaven. Now, Jesus does today preach and teach and heal, as he did when he walked this earth. But that looks a little bit differently today than it did 2,000 years ago. And so a few things that we need to understand about Jesus' ministry. The first is that it is now a ministry of the Holy Spirit. Jesus' ministry on earth today is carried out through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I'll just give you references. I think I did this a couple weeks ago. I would love for you to spend time this week reading chapters 14 through 16 in the Gospel of John. What do they tell us about the ministry of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit would work in our lives and through our lives and among us? The entire book of Acts is a book that gives testimony to the ministry of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit would work through the church, the people of God, to carry out God's mission. Ephesians 4, a popular chapter in this congregation because it is within Ephesians 4 that the theme verse for a Stephen ministry is found. We've talked about that a lot, preached on it a lot, taught on it a lot. But I encourage you again to read Ephesians 4 and think about how the Holy Spirit is working in us and through us and among us. And again in chapters 12 through 14 of 1 Corinthians, where we get this picture of the gifts of the Spirit and how they're given to us and why they're given to us and for the purpose that they're given to us. The mission of God is being carried out through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. This is why Jesus said to the disciples, it's good for you that I will go. Imagine hearing that. I mean, this is Jesus. You've witnessed everything Christ has done. These miracles. You've listened to the teaching. You've seen dead come to life. You've seen blind receive sight. You've witnessed these things. And Jesus says to you, it'll be better for you if I go. I'm like, really, Jesus? Because this seems pretty good to me. He says, it'll be better for you if I go, because then the Holy Spirit will come to you. The Holy Spirit will be given. And that's why after the resurrection and the ascension, he says to the disciples, says to his followers, go and wait. He's given them these big pep talks in my mind. It's like, look, I'm alive. The mission continues. You have a purpose. You're going to go do the work of God to all the ends of the earth. But wait. But wait. It's not quite time yet. Why? Because the Holy Spirit hadn't been unleashed upon them in the earth as of yet. And you will need the Holy Spirit for this mission. And that's what we know of as Pentecost. That's part of the significance of that event, is that the Holy Spirit is unleashed on God's people, and now they have everything they need. The power and authority of Christ is now in them. The gifts are now in them to go fulfill the mission, are now in us to go and fulfill the mission of God. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus is present. The power and authority of Christ is with us and behind us as we go. We are given the gifts to equip us to live into this ministry. All of us have these gifts. The Holy Spirit goes before us, softens hearts, prepares the soil, guides us along the way, helps us to be about what the Lord is about. Helps us to wrap our lives around what God's doing in and around and through us. And so that's the second point. This is a ministry of the Holy Spirit. The other way this is different is that this is Jesus is ministering through us. Now, certainly the disciples were given some ministry while Jesus was on earth, but he was really just preparing them and training them for when he would leave. The way Jesus preaches and teaches and heals is through the Holy Spirit working through us, through you, through me, through the church, God's people. And so the Holy Spirit is active in ministry, and that ministry occurs in us and through us. Is that a responsibility? Yes, it is a responsibility that we have for those of us who profess Christ as Lord, profess to be followers of Jesus, profess to be a part of Christ's church. That brings responsibility to us, that it's through us that God desires to carry out the mission. Why God chose to do it through us, I have no idea. I question that often. I'm like, Lord, certainly there was a more effective way of doing this than using us. But who are we to question God? And he sees something within each of us that he's given us, that he's implanted within us as we're created in his image, as that image is then restored through our relationship with Christ and is then empowered through the ministry of the Holy Spirit to allow us not just the responsibility, but also the opportunity to participate with God in God's mission. So a responsibility, yes, but not in a way that we often think of it. Not in a burdensome way. Not in a way that makes our hearts heavy and our minds heavy and brings us down because of all of these things that we're supposed to be doing. No, it's a responsibility that is actually a blessing. It flows out of our passions and our desires that God places within us. It flows out of our love for God and others that becomes more and more natural to us as we grow into the likeness of Christ. It flows out of an awareness of God's work and movement around us as the Holy Spirit helps us to discern that, opens our eyes to what I often call the kingdom movements around us. It helps us, or it becomes natural to us as we live life and live life to the fullness that Jesus Christ came to bless us with. As we open ourselves to be transformed into his likeness, to make ourselves available to God, to wake up and say, Lord, wherever I go today and whatever I do, I open myself to be used by you. And ministry will simply happen. It will just happen. And you'll find yourselves, we find ourselves being used by God, and sometimes we're not even aware of it. Because we become God's vessels. And so a responsibility, yes, but I think it's even more so a gift that the Lord gives us to be involved in God's work. It's an opportunity, an invitation to participate. An invitation that comes to us from the Lord saying, come, play your role in the greatest story ever written. Come play your part in the greatest movement to take over this world. Come be a part of a mission, the greatest mission ever to be known to mankind. And so this is a ministry of the Holy Spirit ministering through us. And the third point is that community is crucial. Community is crucial. We are meant to do this together. Now, there are times when God raises individuals for a special task and says, go, be my voice. Go and step into this. But even those individuals are sent from community, and when they go, they are encouraged to form community. We are meant to do this together. There is no isolation in Christianity. Now, we live in a very individualistic culture where it's just kind of like, well, I got Jesus, and me and Jesus, we're good. And so I don't need the community. I don't need the church. I don't need to be a part of that. And that may feel true, but you know what? The community needs you. The church needs you. We desire for you to be a part of it because we know that together we are more complete. Together is where we find our maturity individually and as a congregation. A pastor friend of mine named John, who's been doing this a lot longer than I have, planted a church in Columbus, still pastoring that church 35 years later. I was talking to him last week and he made this statement. He said, you can't have mission without community, and you can't have community without mission. That mission is meant to come out of the body of Christ. And that the body of Christ is meant to have a mission, a purpose, something that unites us and draws us together and gives us a reason to continue to gather and congregate, a purpose for moving forward. And God's granted that to us, both the mission and the community to carry out that mission. Jesus teaches this. Jesus modeled this in his life and ministry in the community that he formed. Even with the disciples, he sent them out not one by one, but two by two. And then he told them, go into a community, look for a place of peace. And when you find that, live there. Make your home there. Even temporarily. Work out of that home, out of that community. Jesus prays for this in John 17. And Jesus commands this, both himself and through the scriptures, with those dozens of one another commandments that we've talked about, that you've read, that speak to how we are to act to one another and with one another as the community of faith. And a big part of what I want to share with you this morning is that the staff and the leadership of this congregation have been praying and really are discerning and feel strongly that one of the things that God really wants to help do here in the next year is to form and cultivate this type of community. This type of community that we realize you can't have mission without community, and you can't have community without mission. That these two things walk hand in hand. And in the weeks to come, we're going to be looking at what it means to be a Bible-based Christian community. What's it mean for us to come together as a community of faith and be the body of Christ? And so this morning, and we'll make these available in the weeks to come, but we've kind of redone our mission statement just a little bit, tweaked it over the last couple weeks to really bring an emphasis around this idea of cultivating community. This is what we want to step into, not just in the next couple weeks as we preach about it and teach about it and learn about it, but we want to live into it. This fall, we're going to create opportunities for us to begin to live into and allow God to form and cultivate a more authentic Christian community. And all of this speaks to the vision and mission that we feel God's placed on our hearts for this congregation. The vision has changed none, transforming lives in Jesus' name. Simple, one-sentence statement that all of us hopefully know or can know. That when someone would come up to you and say, oh, you're a member of First Presbyterian Church. Well, what are you guys about down there? What are you trying to do these days? Well, we're about transforming lives in Jesus' name. We're about bringing the transformation that Christ offers to the individuals that we meet in this community and beyond as God calls us. And how are we going to do that becomes our mission. And this is, like I said, this has been tweaked a little bit, but we are disciples. We're trying to be like Jesus. We are disciples who cultivate community. Preach, teach, and heal in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. It's a way of us saying our mission here as First Presbyterian Church is to go do what Jesus did and to try to do it like Jesus did it. We want to preach about the good news of the kingdom of God. Why? Because Jesus did. And if he did, we think it's important. We want to teach. What are we teaching? We're teaching how we're citizens of this new kingdom. That's what Christ was teaching. This is how you live as my follower within this new kingdom. And we want to teach that. And we're going to bring an emphasis back to our education, especially starting this fall. And we want to heal. Why? Because healing seemed to be really important to Jesus. Jesus had a desire to heal lives. And every aspect of that word, salvation, is holistic. It's not just about a ticket to heaven someday. Salvation means God's deliverance here and now to us and to the world in every aspect of that word. And we want to participate in that. We want to be about that. We want to help people receive through Jesus physical, emotional, spiritual healing. We want to be about the healing of the nations. We want to be about the healing in this community and around us. Why? Because Jesus was. And we want to do what Jesus did, and we want to do it the way Jesus did it. So we are disciples who cultivate community. We do this together. We come together, and we come together with purpose to preach, teach, and heal in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. As we step into a few minutes of prayer and reflection, my desire for you this morning is that you would simply take a few minutes to pray about this mission, that God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, would continue to form and shape this within us and within our congregation, and that God might begin to plant a desire and a passion within you to be about what God is about in, among, and through us. Let's take a few minutes to pray.
Lord, as you hear our prayers, as they come before you as incense before your throne. We pray that you receive them, and we pray with boldness and trust and faith that you not only hear our prayers, Lord, but that you desire to meet us and to answer them. In the ways that you know we need most. And so, Lord, these things that we carried into this space this morning, perhaps the burden on our hearts for others, perhaps our own sufferings and trials, perhaps our own disappointments, our own doubts, our own struggles within the faith. We lift these up to you this morning, knowing that you have a desire to meet us and that you promise through Jesus that your loving presence will be with us and among us, and that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And so we know that you desire to meet us here. And so we ask through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you just give us a touch of that love. That we would know that you abide with us as we abide in you. That you love us and care for us and meet us in this place. And we pray, Lord, that as you do draw us closer to yourself, that you will continue to form in us a desire to love you and love others, to serve you and to serve others. To live fully in the all that you've created and called us to be, so that we too, in a natural way, through our lives, can be about your business of preaching and teaching and healing into the places that you take us, among the people that you place us. And now I pray, Holy Spirit, in a way that you desire that you would continue to unite us as a community of faith, that you would continue to unite us as brothers and sisters in Christ, that you would continue to unite us as the body, as your family. That even as we prepare to take this bread and drink this cup, that your Spirit will move in such a way that you continue to make us one with yourself and one another. We also pray, Holy Spirit, that you help us to experience the presence of Jesus at this table. That you will minister to us, that you'll meet us in this place, that through your body and blood you will nourish us and strengthen us for the mission that you call us to live out. And so bless this time. Bless these elements, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, after giving thanks to God the Father, took the bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." And in the same manner, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant, my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this also in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." I would like to remind you that we are going to receive communion by intention, so you'll just come up the center aisle, take a piece of bread, dip it in the cup, partake of it on your way back to your seats on the outer aisles. As you do so, the praise team will be leading us in some music. Feel free to join in singing or simply remain in a prayerful mind. I'd like to invite the servers to come forward. And then once the praise band has received the elements, we invite the rest of you to come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God.